Teresa Walker, Associated Press. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Joe. Hey, Joe, congratulations on a well-deserved Emmy win, my friend.
Thank you very much, Teresa. I really appreciate that.
I'm glad you brought that up. We hadn't talked about it at all this morning.
It's an accomplishment that deserves to be noted over and over again.
Yeah, so especially the way he's whined after winning the first one and how long it took for two and three. So,
but thank you. Very kind.
Hey, it's the kind of thing, I don't know about you, Joe, but, you know, I've got those two Tennessee Sports Writer Awards, and yes, I look at them, I polish them, I keep them dusted, and, you know, because, you know, if you might get another one, but you just don't know. So
exactly.
You what you got.
That's what I said. I tell people it's not the moment, but the journey. The moment is very nice. The journey to get there.
You don't remember half of the journey, okay?
The journey was amazing, amazing up and down, Ryan. That molds you, man. That builds you.
It's what gets us to where we are.
Thank you. And thank you for the kind words.
Are y'all done?
We're done.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure.
What do you want? I asked Joe, what are we going to ask Teresa about today? What do you want to talk about?
Oh, goodness. We could talk about the fact that Tennessee, you know, seemed to forget there was a game Saturday night in Rupp Arena. Maybe they thought that the officials would give them the calls, and it seemed like they were kind of stunned early when, you know, they had some hard fouls go against them and weren't called, shocking, on the SEC road. And you know, now we've got Vanderbilt, though, who's going to Knoxville with a chance. If they lose one more, guys, matches the longest skid in program history, something not seen since the middle 30s. We got a lot we could touch on.
Well, I would dare say, and we had, you know, a few UT fans calling and everything. Hey, they're going to be in your building a week from Saturday. Make your home court just as tough and get those kind of calls in your building.
Exactly. That's the beautiful thing for Tennessee and Kentucky is that this is a home and home situation. It's not, you know, let's face it, there's a lot of schools from the East that play one team from the West once. And, you know, you don't get that chance for a rematch. And they do get the chance for a rematch. And it very well could settle the division, or excuse me, the regular season SEC title for this season going into the tournament coming here in Nashville. So you get that win, you get the split. You know, Kentucky's already got a loss against LSU. So guess what? You know, Tennessee's just got the one league loss. If you keep it that way, with the way the Vols finished, then you're just exactly where you want it to be going into March, going into the SEC tournament, most likely the NCAA tournament.
Well, you look at this game tomorrow night, and we've been joking about it earlier, but, you know, we're talking about Tennessee playing LSU, then Ole Miss, then Kentucky in 2 weeks. But they need to win tomorrow night. I mean, Vanderbilt comes in there, and we've seen this before, Teresa. You remember what was the Colts-Titans in 2011? They didn't win a game all year. Who did they beat? The Titans. You can't look forward over these games. I mean, I know Vanderbilt hasn't won a game. I get all that. But I think this should be Rick Barnes should say, this is our national championship Tuesday night. Let's win this game and then go forward.
Oh, absolutely, Joe, because guess what? The Commodores are desperate, and they're cleaning up the – I know Vandy fans don't want to hear this, but they're working on the areas that they've struggled in that have cost them SEC games in this skid. You know, they out-rebounded Auburn on Saturday, dominated on the boards. You know, they got 43 rebounds. And in the second half, you know, they have lost a lot of games because they couldn't knock down free throws. They were 14 of 15 at the line in the second half. Problem is they turnovers, you know, it's like every time they plug a hole, you know, another one pops forward. Well, they struggle to hit from three and they turned the ball over 19 times. Auburn got 17 points off of that. So, you know, they still have some areas to fix, but at a certain point that just the sheer numbers are going to go in their path and they're going to do enough things to actually win a game. And guess what? You think that if they could pull off a win in Knoxville tomorrow night, you think what would that do for Vanderbilt? That would be, for all the people who have been dogging Bryce Drew, and I've had a couple on my social media say, bring back Kevin Stallings.
What?
That's how bad it's gotten. Yes, I know. But you go into Knoxville and pull off a win against the Vols team that if they're looking back at Saturday night in Rupp rather than being prepared tomorrow night in Thompson Bowling, then Vanderbilt could pull off the – let's not forget, Vandy had the lead. And a four-point play helped turn that around, cost them the game in overtime. So, you know, this isn't a team that, you know, they came in and thumped by a bunch. This is an in-state rivalry. Everything can and will happen if you're not prepared.
Thank you very much. It's exactly right because I think Vanderbilt has nothing to lose tomorrow night just to go out there and play a game and maybe catch Tennessee still kind of reeling. I hate to give Greg credit on this. He said something last year which really is solid. And I hate God. I really hate.
That's okay. No one else does. Go ahead.
Don't let a loss beat you twice.
Yeah. And that's where I see Tennessee. I don't think they're going to turn around on Tuesday night and let what happened. I think it's the other way around. I think if you're Vanderbilt, you would have loved for that team to go and play well and win at Kentucky, because everybody would be, you know, up there basking in all the praise. Now they're hungry, and they've played a lot of this season with a chip on their shoulder. Are they the number one team in the country? Probably not. I don't think it hurts them at all. Quite frankly, I think it probably helps them in the long run. They're not going to go 18-0 in conference play, okay? They're not that team.
Well, no, and for those of us who are old enough to remember Pat Summitt's top tenure, she never minded a loss in February.
Yeah.
Why? Because she knew that allowed her to refocus people on what they needed to fix and to stay on point. A loss in late February, and I know, you know, what is it? Today is the 18th, so yeah, we are in late February already. That is something a good coach can use to fix. He's been talking about their defense from three, all these things that Rick Barnes has been preaching about. Well, now he's got game tape to slap them upside the head with and say, see, this is what I've been telling you about. And it's a fresh reminder as we get closer to the games where you won and then you could be done.
Teresa Walker with us. What, combine coming up?
Next week,
later.
Yeah.
Later this month. I know, isn't it crazy that next weekend is the start of March? So, free agency's coming. That starts the day. And really, come on, NFL, SEC, can we work this out so we don't have free agency starting on the day that the SEC tournament is starting? I'm just saying, I got a few things on my plate. If I could back one off.
Well, you know, you're that two-time, you know, sports writer of the year that you pointed out earlier while you and Joe were, you know, hugging each other.
Is that the 13th
of
March? 13th of March?
Yes. Hey, Greg, if I had any pull, that and $2 might get me a soda at the grocery.
Is that all the same, man? That's crazy, because I think free agency with that pops. To me, the combine is meh, and I think we're going up next week for the combine. But I think we're going up for mostly to talk to NFL people about the draft coming here, because that's the last time you really get them all together in one place, about the draft coming in late April. But I think free agency – because, you know, people look at the draft. Who are they going to get at 19? Well, if they go out and sign three pass rushers, they're probably not going to draft a guy at 19th coming off the edge. So I think free agency is huge before any kind of mock draft that you look at, because they go out and they get guys.
Exactly, Joe, because you're exactly right. You know, we don't expect Derek Morgan back. If he is, then it's not, you know, he's going to have a different role coming off the season that he had last year. You know, we're expecting, and they have the cap space. I know that the Titans don't have the eye-popping numbers that the Colts and a few other teams do, but last I saw the numbers around $49 million in cap space, according to Over the Cap. That's something you can work with. And next year, the cap space is projected to absolutely go up to like 80-something million. You know, obviously that's not going to happen because they've got guys like Mariota, Kevin Byard, that they're going to have to do some decisions on and extend and get some new contracts with. But they have money to spend. And the one thing we've seen out of John Robinson is he's going to spend it as wisely as possible. So it may not be the names that, you know, don't think Le'Veon Bell. I'd be stunned to see Antonio Brown show up here in any kind of a move. But, you know, there are going to be some names that they can go out and get. And if they absolutely bulk up the outside pass rush, then that frees them up to maybe go use that 19th pick overall on a wide receiver. And maybe then the tight end picks that some of these mock drafts are putting out there aren't so crazy. I still think wide receiver is way ahead of tight end for this team. But exactly, free agency is going to impact the draft. That's why don't look at mock drafts right now. I'm just saying they're not worth, you know, I know they're getting clicks, but people, take them with a box of salt.
Well, not only that, but you look at the Colts have all that money too. If I'm the Colts and the Titans are up for the same free agent, if they come visit Indianapolis, I say, if I'm the Colts, I tell the player, here's why you need to come to Indianapolis. Then I open a door, in walks Andrew Luck, out walks Andrew Luck, and say, he's a guy that's going to be here for the next 10 or 12 years. This is why you need to come to Indy. We're going to win ball games because of Andrew Luck. I don't think the Titans could say that with Mariota. That's just me.
Well, that's true, and that might be why the Titans end up having to pay a teeny bit more for some guys. But guess what? you know, some people might look at Mariota and like him, you know.
But guess what?
You know, what happens is it all comes down to money. And if you do have an Andrew Luck, you're absolutely right, Joe. That is a huge selling factor because there were so many questions about whether he would be able to come back and play ever again, which look absurd in hindsight of what he did this last season. But that's how big the questions were about his career. And, yeah, now they've got Andrew Luck and they've got a ton of money and a GM who seems to know how to use both of them together. They are going to be a scary threat. That's what makes free agency so crucial for the Titans, is because they have to get guys who can get pressure on Andrew Luck, because they're going to be facing him twice a year for, as you mentioned, most likely in the next decade or so.
Yeah, exactly. I remember 2006 when they signed Kevin. It was huge. Mawai, David Thornton, and Chris Hope. And you're like, ah, okay, that's not bad, because, you know, Hope had spent 4 years with the Steelers. But what they did, they changed the culture of that football team from the 05 to 06. And, you know, you hit on those three guys. One's a Hall of Famer, obviously, and Mawai. But I thought that, to me, that was the best, when you go out and you find guys who contribute the next 4 years at least and can bring that winning attitude to your football team. That was one of the best moves the Titans ever did, was back in 2006, bringing those three guys in.
Oh, you're right, Joe. That may be the absolute best free agent class that they've had since being in Tennessee. You know, they had a Kyle VandenBosch signing, a guy that had had two knee injuries, and you didn't think that, you know, you were taking a huge flyer on him, and he ends up becoming a Pro Bowler. But, you know, to get three of those guys, you know, three starters that you plug in and they just go, and the impact on the locker room was huge. You know, because right now, you know, John Robinson was talking at the Senior Bowl about maybe getting a little nasty too. Well, this team's been 9-7 for three straight years, but it doesn't feel like winning seasons. Well, it does to those of us who remember the 5-27 record over two seasons. But, you know, because they didn't do anything that you can truly remember in the playoffs, one appearance, one big comeback win in Kansas City. Other than that, it's been a quiet kind of run here. And with Houston now trending up with Deshaun Watson and Andrew Luck back healthy with the Colts, you've got to do something to counteract what they've got going on to help this team take another step. And, you know, two losses this last season by a combined 2 points. They got to do something to help them get at least two more wins a season.
Teresa, 18 years ago, Dell Sr. passed away. Where were you? Were you watching the race? Do you remember that day?
I do remember that day. I was actually at the Predators. My son, my mom, my husband, we were watching the Predators. We were in a club-level seat, and we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, you know, I got an email on, and I'm looking at it, and it's like, I can't remember how we found out. Guys, I've slept since then, but, you know, we're sitting there, and it's like, Dell Sr.'s dead. And it's like, it was stunning. And I'll say this, guys, my husband is a huge, huge fan of Dale Sr. And when we were actually dating, it was a little bit of a joke. He kept sending me, you know, we were kind of yin and yang, and he kept sending me this Dale Sr. driver's card over and over and over, and popping it up in the strangest places. And it was getting to the point, it's like, okay, stop it. You know, it feels like Dale's stalking me. So, but to hear the news that he was gone, it was just stunning. It was a little bit like when Elvis Presley died.
People
who had just such accomplishment, such persona and personality, that you were just stunned that they could suddenly not be with us here today.
And not only that, but to tragically pass away in your sport's biggest event, it seemed very surreal.
Oh, absolutely. And for those of us who remember the crash, and you know, we've seen crashes. I mean, shoot, the crash yesterday where there were so many cars and the fires blazing around, you're thinking, wow. But it just goes to show, it only takes the right angle, the right moment, and then suddenly you can be gone.
And not wearing a Hans device, too, at the time, you know, because, you know, that's basically where the Hans device came, you know, because of the support of the neck and the head and everything. Well, who won that race?
I couldn't tell you.
Michael Waltrip, owned by Dell Sr. on that car.
Well, and I remember Darrell Waltrip saying, you know, obviously his younger brother had just won the race, and him saying, "I hope that Dale's okay." And obviously we know but that, but I remember Michael Waltrip winning the race. Dell Waltrip obviously celebrating his brother, and then in passing, "I sure hope Dale's okay." That's what I remember from that day.
Because, again, it didn't, you know, we've seen worse crashes.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way he went into the wall, the lack of a Hans device, which, you know, is pretty much, you know, that's standard equipment now in racing because of that crash. That is the impact that that had. So, again, it was just, it was stunning news. And I think we actually left the Predators game a little early because it was kind of like, you know, no, when you hear news like that, it was just, okay, no, I needed more. I needed more than a minute here.
Well, and back then, quite frankly, I was the executive sports editor of the Daily News Journal, Corby Yarbrough. You met Corby. He was, was just such a talent. We did and this is something you couldn't do today in the newspaper business. We did a wrap, meaning if we're a six-page section, 1, 2, and 5, and 6 were all about him. And he put together a four-page wrap for us. And won the best, you know, the Tennessee Sports Writers Award for what he did that day and that night. And, that's a long way away and everything. And you know what? And I know, Teresa, you're involved with TSWA so much. We had Mike Organ on. I know he comes in whenever I'm not here and vice versa. Good for him to be named to the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. And that said, don't forget, our induction ceremony is in July at Cumberland University in Lebanon. And just stay tuned. You can buy a ticket and come see Mike be honored on that night.
Joe, if you go, I'll buy.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah,
they do a really
watch out, Lebanon. We're going to burn that town down.
Lebanon.
Thank you, Teresa. See what I got to put up with every day? Thank you, Teresa.
Good luck.
All right, let's take a break.